Congress open hearings today into the September 11th attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya, which killed Chris Stevens, the American ambassador to Libya, and three other Americans, but also became a flashpoint during the campaign and then raised questions in the downfall of an American hero who will now be a star witness in those hearings into the attack, but not until tomorrow. And it won't be public. Former CIA director and retired four-star general David Petraeus will answer questions from the House and Senate Intelligence Committees early tomorrow morning behind closed doors. Today, the House Foreign Affairs Committee held its Benghazi hearing. No one from the CIA or the White House testified, but Republican Congressman Bill Johnson blasted the Obama administration for its response to the attack.
We've seen blunder after blunder as the administration avoids responsibility and accountability. So now that we've made it past the convenient distraction of an election, I expect to hear some real answers. It's time to fess up.
Greg Miller covers national security for The Washington Post. He joins us now. And Greg, you know, we wondered what exactly do lawmakers want the administration to fess up about? And I suppose we should just back up and remind people that President Obama immediately after the attack said terrorism would not be tolerated. But his ambassador, Susan Rice, UN ambassador, early on laid blame on that Islamic video. Later said the administration agreed with reports that it was an attack organized by local militia. So what are lawmakers suspecting?
Well, I think that there's two things. There's this more narrow question of, for many lawmakers, of how can they uncover evidence that suggests that this administration was trying to distort the facts coming out of Benghazi. Who was told what when, and how does that line up with the public statements at the time? Then I think there are these broader questions, which are probably more meaningful over the long term, which are how was it that a facility in that part of the world that where there had been multiple sort of violent episodes leading up to that attack could have been left so vulnerable? How were our intelligence agencies caught so off guard by that prospect? So those are the two kinds of areas I think where the focus will be.
Well, the head of the U.S. military's Africa Command, General Carter Ham, yesterday said that some of the Benghazi attackers were linked to al-Qaeda's North African arm, that's al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb. But he also said the attack wasn't necessarily planned by that group. Now, you know, we talked to David Kirkpatrick, who had reporters on the ground when the attack was happening. He said, you know, the story is mixed, that there were members of a local militia, you know, who seemed to be organized, who came out for the attack, but those people, those attackers on the ground, said that they came because of the Islamic video. That's what got them out of their homes, encouraged by this local militia. So we're hearing local militia, perhaps tied to al-Qaeda, perhaps fomented by the video. Do we know the answers to these questions yet?
Well, you know, the trouble is I think that the answers are inclusive of many, if not all, of these possibilities. So, you know, there were a number of attackers who descended on that compound, coming with different motivations and different connections. Now, the Carter Ham language is consistent with what senior U.S. intelligence officials have been saying for a month or two now, which is that there were some links to members of al-Qaeda in North Africa among those attackers. But links is a, you know, sort of a term of art here. How strong are those links? Does that mean that they were sent? No. It looks like, you know, that they were communicating with, perhaps in the aftermath even bragging to AQIM, as the group is known, about the success of this attack. But that nobody so far, and I've sat in briefings at CIA and elsewhere, has found any evidence that al-Qaeda, either in North Africa, let alone in Pakistan, plotted this out, laid it out.
But you said the broader question will be about security and how it was that the consulate wasn't as secure as some would like. We were hearing questions about the requests for security prior to the attack, hearing questions about troops who were told to stand down during the attack, to not go in at the height of the attack, perhaps because too much was unknown about what was going on. Where does General David Petraeus fit into all of this?
Well, of course, David Petraeus was, until last Friday, the director of the CIA. And the annex, as the, you know, this secondary compound that was attacked later, after the ambassador was killed, it has since come to light that was a CIA compound. There were only CIA personnel at that facility, and so the much of the fighting and this rescue effort that was underway at the consulate was mobilized by the agency. The agency really had the only firepower close enough to actually try to fend off these attackers, because you mentioned this idea that military operatives were told to stand down. I mean, everything we've seen so far suggests there was no military presence within striking distance of this. I mean, there was a special operations team that they were trying to get to a launching pad in Italy, and they didn't even get there until after the attacks were over. So the CIA is on the ground. The CIA has security forces who have some weapons. They're the ones who end up doing a lot of the fighting.
But
two of them got killed.
Right. Well, were there questions, though, as to whether or not they were told to stand down and not go in? I guess, as you said...
Well, questions. Yeah. I mean, Fox reported that. But I think that is what prompted the CIA a couple weeks ago to lay out its timeline in a very detailed fashion and make the case that, no, nobody from headquarters and nobody on the ground told anybody to stand down, that, in fact, the CIA security team that was at the annex was in vehicles and moving out of their compound on their way to the ambassador's residence within 20 minutes of getting the first call.
Well, General Petraeus told CNN's Kira Phillips in a conversation that his resignation had nothing to do with Benghazi, also that he never passed any classified information to Paula Broadwell. Just briefly, the questions that might rise because of his relationship with his biographer.
Well, I was on the phone. He's appearing, I think you mentioned, before the House and Senate Intelligence Committees early tomorrow morning. And these are going to be closed sessions, not open to the public. And I've talked to a few people on the Hill who've said that the stipulation here is that that the members will not be asking him about the Broadwell matter. They will only be asking about Benghazi, and that is one of the conditions of his agreement to appear.
And what question might you have if you could ask one of the general?
Well, I think that...
having to do with security.
Having to do with security? Well, I guess... I mean, I would have a lot of questions for General Petraeus at this point. And his record... He was only at the CIA for about 14 months. But his legacy, if he really has one, is an escalation of the drone campaign,
right,
an expansion of the paramilitarization of the CIA. And so that's what's most interesting to me. And I wonder what will follow him now. Whoever succeeds him, what will President Obama want from that agency?
Greg Miller covers national security for The Washington Post. Greg, we'll touch back with you as the hearings proceed and see if any of your questions get answered. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much.
Okay. We're going to take a break, and then a break from the news with a look at the Latin Grammys here and now.